interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
What's up, everybody? We're live right here from the Jersey Shore. PWP Radio, episode number 30, exclusively right here on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. Guys, we got a great show for you tonight. We're going to have Rick Titus coming up, ROH star and the newest member of Scum. Rick Titus will be on the line with us in hour two. So if you're tuning in to listen to Rick Titus tonight, that'll take place at around 10:15, somewhere around there. So definitely tune in for that, because we're going to have exclusive comments on turning his back on the Ring of Honor fans. He's going to tell us why. He's going to tell us why he joined Scum, what his thoughts are on Steve Corino. We're going to even ask him about his former tag team partner and his success in TNA. And that man is the new X Division champion, Kenny King. But before we get the show underway, I just want to throw out some plugs. There are many ways to listen to PWP Radio, Oh You Didn't Know, and Spoilers. That's the three shows on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. The best way to do it is right here on blogtalkradio.com. Or you can listen on iTunes. Try the easiest way to listen. Go to iTunes, hit that subscribe button, leave us some feedback, some comments. It would be greatly appreciated. Definitely check us out, iTunes. Also, we're on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio is a very easy way to listen to all of our stuff on your cell phone. It's just an app. Check it out, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. Or you can go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. That is the central hub of what we're doing here. Everything we do goes through ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. It's the only reason why this show is up and running right now. So definitely check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, where opinions count first. It's an opinionated website, not news, not a bunch of crap. It's just opinion all day long. Great writers, great fans, writing their opinions on professional wrestling. Also on social media, you can find us on Twitter, my personal Twitter, twitter.com/PWPowerhouse, at PWPowerhouse on Twitter, Facebook, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. We are on our way to 1,700 likes. Thank you to everybody who likes us on Facebook. Please check us out on Amazon.com. We've got an Amazon store. If you want to show support to the show, go to the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Amazon store. Purchase something, anything you want. We get a small portion. It goes to paying the monthly bill. That's the only reason why we do it. Just a small portion. Give back a little bit to the show, and you're getting whatever you want, whether it's a wrestling DVD, video game, whatever, a toaster oven, whatever you want to get, you can get it. And I just want to give a congratulatory message to our winner of our last DVD contest. I haven't talked about it in recent weeks, but I was accepting emails. Anyone who listened to that show over the past month, where I announced the keyword that was Sweet and Sour Incorporated, emailed me. I picked one randomly, and that winner is Brian Restoff from Boston, Massachusetts, and he is getting a brand new DVD, wrestling DVD, coming his way. But without further ado, let's get on with the show tonight. I'm going to bring in my usual co-host. He's been here since day number one. He's my main man. He is the one and only TLD.
It's TLD. Yeah. Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
What's going on, Will?
Not much. Just relaxing in my room on my awesome iPad, which, by the way, is... Did I say it's awesome? It's awesome. I'm on my iPad stock.
Speaking of awesome, we're going to get into it in a minute, but that man, The Miz, is officially signed for WrestleMania. But we'll get into that in just a minute. We've got a lot to talk about hour number one. I'm going to bring in the man who wasn't with us last week on the show, but he's with us this week. He's your co-host of the Oh You Didn't Know radio show, which you can find right here on the network each and every Wednesday night. That's John Demicelli. What's up, John?
What's up?
What's going on, man? How's everything going?
Good, man. Counting down. Tick-tock.
Tick-tock. We're going to have the newest member of the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse family shortly. Don's going to have a baby boy on the way. That's exciting stuff, man.
Yeah, so A lot of work, but I'm ready.
All right.
Well, we know it's a lot of work.
All right, let's bring in another regular on the show. He's a kid that I tend to clash with all the time, but he's a good guy. I like him. Stand-up dude, my man Toph. What's going on, Toph?
Hey, guys, I got a funny story. My mom is just laughing and dancing to the Fandango theme. She says that Fandango reminds her of Disco Inferno and Alex Wright. Boogie Nights, good times, good times.
I love it. He would have fit right in with those two guys.
He would.
I'm actually a fan of Fandango, no pun intended. But hey, if you guys,
cool,
if you want to call the show, before we get on with this, if you want to call the show, this whole first hour we're taking questions, we're taking comments. If you want to get in on the fun, please give us a call. That's 760-888-5749. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of people that want to get something off their chest. I know that for a fact after Raw last night. So if you want to join in, definitely do it. Feel free, 760-888-5749, or get in the chat room. We've got the chat room open. Create a blogtalkradio.com account and get in our chat room. The PWP pit is wide open. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about WrestleMania and the developments that took place last night on Monday Night Raw, which I thought was a pretty solid show up and down. But you brought up Fandango, Toph, and a lot of people are a little pissed about the fact that Fandango is going to debut. He's going to have his in-ring debut at WrestleMania against Chris Jericho. Toph, what were your thoughts on this and how it transpired?
You know, I don't have anything against Fandango. You know, it's kind of a generation gap. A lot of people look at dancing gimmicks. And as we just talked about Alex Wright and Disco Inferno. Let's not forget Rikishi and Too Cool. You know, so, you know, dancing comedy, mid-card acts, they've happened before. They can get over. I think the reason why fans aren't liking this Fandango gimmick is for two reasons. Number one, you have guys like Antonio Cesaro, who's kind of been bringing prestige back to the U.S. title, who's kind of been on the road the entire time, and here he is now on the card. And then you have this new guy, Fandango, just comes out of nowhere and gets his debut match on Mania. And secondly, since we're on the road to WrestleMania, fans don't want to see this type of comic relief stuff. They want to see serious investment and build. Stuff like Fandango, you can debut after Mania is over. And, you know, it's kind of a wrong place, wrong time for Fandango. I think if he had debuted any other time of year, and didn't have a match on Mania, fans would be more open to it. But I don't see any reason why fans should hate him, you know. I think just give it a chance and just see where it goes. Then, you know, then you complain, so.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it, he wasn't Fandango. If this guy was Johnny Curtis, straight up, if he came on the show as Johnny and went after Chris Jericho like this, the same fans that are hating on it would be loving it because you're giving an opportunity to a brand-new star. But let's talk about Antonio Cesaro for a second while you brought him up. The thing about Cesaro, and I too agree with you, man. There's really no build. He brought prestige to this title. He's been jobbing out. He's got nothing going on. But there is a worst-case scenario. They could just release him because it's obviously that creative just has nothing for the guy right now, and that's a damn shame. But, you know, we've seen WWE drop the ball on plenty of guys, but, you know, the book's still out. He hasn't even been in a year. But let's keep it rolling. Will, man, your thoughts on Fandango versus Jericho?
I actually have no problem with that match. I think Jericho is just not around enough to get a, like what he got last year. What I think a lot of people are going to look forward to is him kicking Fandango's ass. I think that's, like, the main thing that people are going to be really looking forward for. You know, so Jericho, I think, is going to win. But I like the Fandango gimmick. But what I was a little annoyed at last night was that people were saying, you can't wrestle when he hasn't even wrestled yet.
That was kind of funny.
People probably remember him from Johnny Curtis, but honestly, when was the last time you remember a Johnny Curtis match? I mean, honestly. So you can't really say he can't wrestle when he hasn't even proved it yet in the ring. I think that was just all the IWC fans out there were doing that, and they're just being, you know, their usual IWE selves.
Oh, they were in Philly, so you got to remember that.
That was it right there.
I was really disappointed with Philly that night, I have to say. They were terrible.
We'll talk about that later. That's what you guys are talking
about. Yeah, they weren't a hot crowd at all. And but you brought that up, Toph. It was Philly. You're not going to get that kind of reaction in many other venues across the country. But how about you, John? Your thoughts on Jericho versus Fandango?
I got no problem with it. I see what they're doing. Either way, Fandango, win or lose, he's going to come out looking like $1 million. You know, Jericho will do that for him. I'm not so much against the platform for it, because if he goes over Jericho, whatever the gimmick is, it's going to launch him somewhere. So, you know, and Curtis, from what I remember, and I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a full Curtis match, but from what I remember when he was on NXT, he wasn't terrible. So they might be able to get something out of it. And that leg drop looks, you know, I don't know if it was just last night, but that leg drop looks nice. You know, if he can hit that at WrestleMania, that could be something that, you know, can be a moment there and a nice little spot. So, you know, I've got no problem with it. It works.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the same thing I'm thinking is, you knew he was going to show some kind of mean streak at some point, because he's just been like this arrogant little prick and doesn't want to wrestle and yada, yada, yada. But he showed that mean streak against Jericho, let me tell you that much. And it seems like that's a common thing with these heels lately, is they're kind of, you know, prim, proper. Like Damian Sandow was the same way when he debuted. He was just kind of holding back, you know, and then all of a sudden he snapped and just destroyed everybody in his path. I think that's what they're doing with Fandango. He's going to be a threat. As much as people hate him, you got to remember that's the whole point. You want to hate the guy. You don't want to love the guy. That's what a heel's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But WrestleMania seems to be shaping up. I'm not sure if we'll see too many more matches put on this card, but we saw some heavy build last night. And something that we saw last night was more, I guess, heat and fuel added to the fire of CM Punk versus The Undertaker, and that's something it desperately needed. Because it kind of made me think, if Paul Bearer didn't pass away, what direction would the feud have taken? What would
exactly.
they have done in that case? Right? It seems like it's a convenient circumstance, albeit tragic, you know, but they had a ready-made storyline just to build off of. But what would they be doing if Paul Bearer didn't pass away? It's just weird to think about that, but Tope, your thoughts on what transpired last night? Did you watch Raw last night, Tope?
I caught everything via DVR this morning. Right now, I'm really not feeling the feud. It's very one-sided. Taker's just kind of there. He just cut one promo the week before that, you know, about, you know, how he wants Punk to return to earn. But outside of that, I mean, there's just nothing. I mean, maybe it's because I've been spoiled from seeing Taker with his feuds with HBK and Triple H, because those feuds were very promo-oriented. You know, like week after week, we would see, you know, vignettes and montage videos and promos. And so far, it's just been all Punk. And, you know, as Punk was cutting his promo, I actually found myself agreeing with him, where he was like, Taker just should have rode off in the sunset with HBK and Triple H, and that would have been the end. I actually agree with Punk. I would have been fine. You know, I'm a big Taker fan, and I just personally think 20-0 is enough. And I do not agree with Taker just coming back, working a match for the sake of a match. You know, 4-week build, and you already said it yourself, if Paul Bearer or Paul Moody, if he hadn't passed away in real life, where would this feud go? If you have to ask yourself that question, that tells you all you need to know about the build-up they're doing here. So,
yeah. What would they? Yeah, exactly. What would they have done with it? I am not even sure what they would have done with it, but you can't even really talk about that, because they went in this direction, they're sticking with this direction. CM Punk still has the urn, and I think that would be the payoff for WrestleMania, probably. Somehow Undertaker will win the match and regain the urn at some point. But hey, there's always that chance that CM Punk could come out victorious. John, your thoughts on the build to Punk versus Taker?
All right. The one thing you got to remember with the two Triple H matches and the two HBK matches, they were faces, okay? This is the first time in like 5 years Taker's working a heel with his actual hatred. It's not built about respect or yesterday or, I know, you know, that stuff. So that's the difference here. That, you know, that's why this feud has been different from the last 4 years. As far as where they were going to go with this if Bearer hadn't died, from what, you know, I've seen on other blogs or read, is that it was going to be based around Punk being the fact that I'm the best, there's no one that can touch me, and, you know, for everything I did, I'm the man. And Taker was, you know, it was going to be about ending the streak, because I've done so much, you know, now I've just got to end the streak. So there was another way they were going to go with this, is you know, I get what you guys are saying with the whole Barrett thing, and, you know, Barrett's sons have been backstage at Raw. They're okay with it. Taker would let it go, so that's not an issue. But I like it. I think that's going to be the match of the show. I really do.
Yeah, there's no question that there will be something about that match. Undertaker always delivers. You know, no matter how old he gets, he absolutely delivers, especially at WrestleMania. I can't remember the last time he's had a bad match at WrestleMania. On WrestleMania 15. What was it, 19? With Albert and Big Show?
The tag match, yeah.
That wasn't his fault, but yeah.
No, not at all. I actually like that match just because I like the entrance and kind of that whole deal. But I'm going to bring Will back in. Will, man, we're talking about CM Punk, Undertaker, and the heat that was built last night. I thought it was pretty cool when the lights went out and Taker appeared to beat the crap out of Punk old school style. What were your thoughts on this match and how it's heading into the big show in less than 2 weeks, WrestleMania 29?
Yeah, it does feel like a lot. I do wonder, it doesn't really matter what, you know, what would have happened if Punk and, you know, this Earn thing didn't come into play. I think it's just great the way it is. I think it's a great build. I think it's a great story. It shows this heel CM Punk, and it's a great point brought up that this is the first time he's facing a, you know, heel in 5 years. So it is a different aspect of WrestleMania with him. I'm really looking forward to it. I definitely see this being the match of the night, and I think the way they've been doing it is just fine. You know, there's not much more you could do, but it does leave the predictability out where could CM Punk possibly defeat The Undertaker? Because if I'm there and I watch that live, that will make – I think if that happens, the main event and the rest of the show is going to look dead because that's going to be the match people are going to remember now that The Undertaker lost. So unless it's going to be the main event, I don't think that's going to happen.
I respect the opinion of you guys. I think the problem for me is, you know, I was actually a huge fan of SmackDown in 2009 and 2010, and the short, very rushed feud that Punk and Taker had is still very fresh in my mind, and those matches really weren't that good, to be honest. So I hope it's better.
Well, yeah, but
Punk's a different guy.
Exactly what I was going to say. Punk is a completely different guy now, man. He weighs less. He's in better shape. He's so much better than he used to be. You can tell he's more confident than he was back then. He really wasn't established yet. As shitty as that may sound, because he was the ECW champion, he was the world heavyweight champion, twice at that point, I believe.
Yeah, twice.
So he wasn't quite established yet, if that makes any sense. I mean, if you saw his DVD, you could tell that the way he was talking about it, the way Michael Hayes was talking about it, and this and that and the other thing, that he just didn't have his legs under him, just wasn't the guy yet. WWE didn't have the confidence in him yet, and I think now they do. Now they know that he is the guy or you know, the second guy or whatever the hell you want to call him. But he's definitely the biggest, best heel in the company, no question about that. And they'll deliver WrestleMania, man. I understand, so, what you're saying, but there's no question. This is WrestleMania. The Undertaker and CM Punk will deliver. Uh-oh, what do we got here? Looks like we've got a tweet coming in right now about the show, and it's our buddy, so if you know who he is, Jamail from the various forums. He's a PWP fan. He's written a couple articles, and he's saying that it looks like Cena has a devil he can align himself with at WrestleMania. What does that mean? I'm really not sure. Actually, it's not Jamail. It's Joseph Hernandez. Joseph Hernandez. He's a new writer for PWP. Sorry, I got the Twitter name confused. But he feels like Cena might have a devil he can align himself with. I don't know what he really means by that. But
rumors going around that Cena might have himself with the Shield.
Possibly. I mean, let's talk about that promo last night with Cena, The Rock, and the Four Legends. This was a pretty big deal. It overran like 25 minutes on Raw. But a lot of people were kind of left befuddled by it. Some people really seemed to enjoy it. It seemed to drag a little bit. We got some boring chants from the crowd. We got some pops from the crowd. It was an odd segment. It was something different. But I think it was the most effective one they've done yet since this match was booked. I'm going to take it to John first. A lot of people are saying that there was some foreshadowing for a John Cena heel turn at WrestleMania. What are your thoughts?
if that's the case, last night was the perfect setup for it. You know, Cena being vague in some of his answers was I don't know if that if Cena ends up turning heel, then yeah, last night is just pure creative gold. I like that they finally, and I was surprised they didn't do it last year, the night after WrestleMania, but finally Cena said, "You didn't beat me, I beat myself. I got arrogant. I tried to do your move to embarrass you, and that's why you beat me." You know, and I was so glad, because I just watched it. It's been on Classics on Demand this week, so I watched the match again, and the look, like, on Cena's face when he's got the hand up to do the "you can't see me," but then starts, like, the little smirk and the mocking of the throwing the wristband. It was like, you know what? He beat himself, and I'm glad it took them a year, but they finally admitted it. As much as I would love to see it, I still don't think they have the stones to pull a Cena heel turn. But if they do, this is definitely, last night's going to be the catalyst for it. And it makes for interesting. If you go by old-style booking, the guy that gets the last shot in before pay-per-view used to lose. Cena needs to get the shot in next week because Rock hit him last night. Does that mean Cena's losing? And if, you know, that's an interesting dynamic. What if Cena does lose? Then what?
Yeah, exactly. It's a question a lot of people are asking. Before I give my thoughts on this possible heel turn, I'm going to kick it to TLD because, Will, you're kind of, you know, an old school WWE fan. You kind of don't pay too much attention to the banter that the IWC seems to spew on a daily basis. And a lot of people that I've been reading on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Facebook page, on Twitter, are just clamoring. Like, more than I've ever seen, people want John Cena to turn heel. And this is the IWC we're talking about. So what are your thoughts about a possible John Cena heel turn at WrestleMania?
So we pull a heel turn, who's the face of the company now? That's what I would love to know. I would love to hear what the IWC is going to say on that one. I wouldn't even put The Miz as the face of the company right now. There would be no face left. We tried that with CM Punk. And here we are right now with CM Punk as being probably the top heel in the company, just along with Brock Lesnar. There's nobody else left. You can't turn someone heel. I mean, when in history have you seen them turn, like, the biggest star into a heel without having somebody to kind of combat them? The only time I last remember that was when Hogan became champion. When Hogan became champion in the NWO, that was the only time I remember the heel being the biggest star of the company, and there was just nobody there to defeat him. And he was just so strong, and then Sting came along and did that. So unless they're planning something, you know, unless they're planning something like that, then it's never going to happen. It's just no way. It's not, and it's a totally different time than when that time was. So I just can't imagine him doing that from a merchandising to a business standpoint to what he represents. You know, it just does not make any sense unless they have some big plans for someone else to take his spot, which they have nobody to do.
Yeah, it would lack logic in a lot of ways because John Cena is your face of the company.
Yeah, but I don't know about logic.
Yeah, it's the truth. And I heard you bring up Austin, John, and that was a thing that WWE does not want to make that mistake again because they turned. If you guys didn't see it out there, if anybody out there listening didn't watch WrestleMania 17 or doesn't know about that awesome heel turn, go check it out because it was one of the biggest flops in history. And it continued to flop because it went into this invasion angle and just made absolutely no sense. And they figured out that they were wrong with this a couple times because they turned him back babyface right during the invasion when it was happening. You know, I'll never forget Vince McMahon, "I need the old Stone Cold." You know, he wanted Stone Cold back into that badass SOB. And, you know, they turned him babyface again, all but for a couple weeks, turned him babyface, and then what happened? Back to heel, and not even a year later, he's back to a babyface. So they knew they made a mistake there. They do not want to make that same mistake again. But that was a different era. We were dealing with a different fan base, a larger fan base. They were going for shock value, ladies and gentlemen. That's all they were going for, shock value. Nowadays, shock value just doesn't work the way it used to. I think Cena turning heel would be a huge, catastrophic mistake, especially at WrestleMania 29. You're going to have your biggest audience of the entire year easily. Do not have it happen at WrestleMania 29. If you're going to do it, you need some kind of logic. You need some kind of launching point for it. But I'm going to add this before I kick it over to Toast, because I know you got something to say about this. The only way I will be satisfied with a John Cena heel turn at WrestleMania 29 is if he becomes a Paul Heyman guy. So think of it this way. When did John Cena get started? 2002. His first run came just as Paul Heyman was the booker of SmackDown. Paul Heyman had his hands on everything that was going on in OVW around that time. You know, he was bringing guys up. He was putting guys down. He knew what was going on. He was writing the damn show. They could always go back 10 years and kind of bring that back, because they did it with CM Punk. They brought all that stuff full circle. And if you're going to have John Cena turn heel, you need him to be with the biggest heels in the company to get it over. And if you had a John Cena, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar alliance with Paul Heyman, forget about it. That's your mega heel faction. That's bigger than anything that we've seen in a long time as far as a heel faction is concerned, because that is just star power. That is just insane. So I would be intrigued by that, because who's going to combat that? You know, it's going to be Sheamus, Randy Orton. It's going to be Ryback. It would be interesting to see. I would just love to see how WWE would handle that, what kind of game plan they would have from WrestleMania 29, whatever, until SummerSlam, how they build that up. I think that would be cool. But, Toph, let's get your thoughts on that, this possible John Cena heel turn WrestleMania 29.
Oh, to add into what you guys were saying about Hogan, I've been watching a lot of 97 WCW lately. What a lot of fans forget is, you know, Hogan, he was the top face when he turned heel. And at the time that it happened, there was no one left to replace that. And although eventually Crow Sting was the guy that took Hogan down, there were a lot of roadblocks that Hogan went through first. First, he went through Luger. Luger was like the guy that kept coming back. Then it was Savage. Then it was Piper. And then it was Sting. So if they were to turn Cena heel, doesn't necessarily mean they have to create a new face immediately. They could just have them go after guy after guy after guy, and then finally after about 3 to 4 months, then your next face takes them down. As far as Cena's going heel is concerned, I'll believe it when I see it. The opportunity to turn Cena heel has come several times, and they never pulled the trigger. They could have did it during the Nexus feud. They could have did it when Sheamus beat him in that match. Because if you guys remember, there was that weird, unusual kind of shoot promo Carlito did back in, like, late 2009, where he was like, oh, everybody in the locker room wants you to lose the belt, and Sheamus represents us. And remember, Cena lost the belt, and, like, the kids were just kind of sad, and Cena was like, oh, I'll never lose again. They could have turned them there. They didn't do it. They could have turned them last year. They didn't do it. So the way I see it, this feud is going to be similar to Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels. I don't know if you guys remember that. But during that feud, HBK was like a quasi-slash heel slash tweener. It was like Shawn Michaels and WWE, they knew that the fans were going to choose Hogan over HBK. So rather than book it as a face versus face, during that feud, HBK was the heel. And when they went to Canada, he just didn't care anymore and just went full heel. And you know, once the feud was over, once Hogan rode off into the sunset, HBK went back to normal. So that's how I see this. I see WWE, they realize that the fans are not going to choose Cena over Rock. It's not going to be mixed. They know that they're going to cheer the Rock. So I see this as, you know what, the fans are going to boo Cena anyway, so you might as well just be the heel of this feud. So, you know, I hope it happens, but I'll just believe it when I see it, because I just don't think they have the balls to do it. I don't think they have the balls to turn Cena heel. I just don't think they do.
No, I don't think so either, and it just wouldn't make any sense. I know you're bringing up Hogan being the biggest face at the time, but if you remember back then, if you're talking about 1995, 1996, he was getting booed out of the building in a lot
of
areas. Now,
Hogan was getting crapped on.
Yeah.
Uncensored, and I think even Super Bowl, he was getting booed out of the building.
World War III, 95, was when Hogan knew he had to turn. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
He did that interview,
that
and the fans were booing him.
That stupid thing with how they booked that end of that match with Savage and him. Yeah. Hogan's run was done, like late 95 in WCW. Those crowds were just completely crapping all over him.
But that's the thing. If you guys remember the way that angle played out, Hogan, I've read tons of stuff about the NWO, and Eric Bischoff's take on it, even Hogan talking about it in his books. He was really on the fence about turning heel. He didn't want to do it. He had to get convinced to do it. He had to think about it really hard before he goes, you know, brother, let's run with this. But it was still a different dynamic. I guess
Paul Nash didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. I like how you pointed out that, you know, you don't need that baby face to combat him immediately. You just don't. But, however, back then, you had guys who were already, like, megastars in the industry,
yeah.
Luger, Savage, Sting. These guys, everybody knew these guys. You know, and they could have, you know, they could have fought Hogan that entire year and just took turns, and that's pretty much what happened.
Guys? Another thing you need to consider is there's also still rumors going around about Randy Orton turning heel. You can't have Cena and Orton be heel at the same time. That'll just be a huge, huge, huge drop for their baby faces.
Exactly.
You got to keep one of them face. You can't have both of them be heels. I mean, that would be cool, but you can't have both of them be heels. One of them's got to be a face.
Exactly.
Have we seen that before? Have we seen a heel Cena versus a face Orton?
We haven't seen a heel Cena at all. I saw it 1 year. That's all we got for a Cena. It's a 1 year heel run.
Orton was on Raw with Evolution when Cena was a heel on SmackDown in 03.
Oh, well, there you go. That could be your fresh match right there.
Well, just remember, anybody who's tuning in right now, we will have a live interview with Rhett Titus coming up in hour number two for the rest of this hour. For the next 28 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes, something along those lines, we will be talking about WrestleMania 29. We'll be talking a bit of TNA, a little bit of Ring of Honor. We're going to talk about later with Rhett and go over, you know, Supercard of Honor. But if you're just joining in, definitely follow us on Twitter, at PW Powerhouse, Facebook, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network right here on Blog Talk Radio. So let's get back into this. So I think it's unlikely Cena turns heel. I think we all kind of agree with that. It is an unlikely thing, but it would be something that would definitely get the wrestling world talking, because it already is. People are jumping the gun big time on this. But how about the segment in general with the Hall of Famers involvement? And, you know, a lot of people are ripping on Bret Hart for no apparent reason. I don't really understand the hate on Bret Hart. And I want to talk about this for a minute, because I'm a huge Bret Hart fan. Bret Hart was the guy that took the ball when Hogan decided to bow out for a few years from the WWF. And he tore it up, man. He worked with everybody every single night, put on fantastic matches. Didn't matter how much they weighed, didn't matter what they smelled like, didn't matter how old they were, whether it was Bob Backlund, Owen, 123 Kid, it didn't matter. Yokozuna, Bam Bam Bigelow, Bret Hart was the man. And in my eyes, he's still the man. I don't care if he's bitter about the Montreal Screwjob or losing a freaking, like, shit, almost a majority of his family to the wrestling business. You know, he's lost so many people to this business, I'd be bitter too. Man, I'd be fucking bitter. So, sorry for the language, but screw Eric Bischoff. You know, that guy has nothing to say to Bret Hart. He shouldn't talk about Bret Hart, because nobody could have ruined that Bret Hart run in WCW the way Eric Bischoff did. All right? So I don't want to read any negative stuff coming from that guy's mouth. I got no respect for that idiot as it is. But let's talk a little bit about Bret Hart, and I'm going to kick it to Will first, TLD. Bret Hart, what are your thoughts on the way he reacted on Raw last night? A lot of people are burying him for the way he conducted himself.
I really don't know what people are upset about. I don't know how he conducted himself. He was just asking questions just like everybody else was. So, I don't know. I was just upset he didn't come out with the pink shades. That was the only thing that upset me. Which, by the way, I am ordering my pink shades for WrestleMania. But,
oh, man.
Yeah.
They got them. BretHart.com. They got them. They got them available.
They got
them. You
get them autographed. Bret Hart shades. That's right. I am definitely going to have myself a pair of Bret Hart shades for WrestleMania. And all the WrestleMania gear I just bought, so I'm looking forward to that.
I'm pumped to meet Bret Hart again. I've already met the guy twice in my life, but I'm going to meet him Friday night, April 5th, WrestleMania weekend. I'm going to probably be a Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I'm 99% there. I'm going to meet Bret Hart again. I'm going to shake his hand, get his autograph, get a picture with him, do the whole nine yards, because he is the man. And there's so many of these inside jokes that you internet wrestling community guys pull on a daily basis.
Thank you, guys.
How many of these jokes can you do weekly? The Triple H with the shovel joke, the Bret Hart 4 out of 10 joke. It's over. You know, it's old news. It's not funny when you see it 2,000 times. Give it a break. John, your thoughts on Bret Hart and what people are saying about him today on the internet?
I guess struggling because you had knee surgery 2 weeks ago is conducting yourself unprofessionally. You know, I don't think he said anything wrong. He asked a great question. You know, he sat there just like everyone else does. If anything, the one I'd be upset with is Dusty when he started cutting off Rock at one point. You know, what's the problem? But then again, you know, it's the IWC, Jay, and they know everything, and only their opinion matters, and they're going to ride this 4 out of 10 joke to the ground, just like the Triple H thing. Let's get the shovel. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be funny because I'm part of the IWC. So it's like, whatever, man. You know, kill yourselves and your little laptop that you're on all day.
Ooh, pipe bomb, my John, man. All right, and
hey,
let's
John,
get to this
you, if you're hot, say you're hot.
Huh?
If you're hot, say you're hot.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I just
this 4 out of 10 joke, I had no idea what the hell it meant for a long time. I didn't get it. I kept seeing these memes pop up, comments pop up, with 4 out of 10, and I had to ask Toe straight up, like, what the hell is this Bret Hart 4 out of 10 thing? I don't get it. I had no idea. I had zero idea. I was even making the joke, and I had no idea what it meant. So if people don't know out there, anyone who's listening, because believe it or not, we are featured on Blog Talk Radio tonight on the main site, blogtalkradio.com, the front page. We're featured in the staff picks section, which is big news, where, you know, Pros and Powerhouse Radio is awesome. But, Toph, tell everybody what this 4 out of 10 crap means.
As many people know, Bret Hart did an interview about a few months ago, and during this interview, he was asked his opinion about Triple H, the wrestler, not the person. And in the interview, Bret Hart, in a very subtle way, felt that he said the Triple H he thought was overrated and mediocre. And he said that, I think he said his exact words were Triple H wouldn't even be on his top 100, but your average wrestling fan couldn't even give you a top 50, much less 100. And, you know, and he just gave Triple H a 4 out of 10. And because of that, fans just, that's where the 4 out of 10 MMA started. And, there's a picture that's going viral now, you know, at the end of Raw last night. The Rock gave John Cena a rock bottom, and you can clearly see Mick Foley, Booker T, and Dusty Rhodes had a look of a shock and astonishment on their face, and Bret just kind of had the stoic look like he wasn't impressed, which just kind of adds more fuel to the fire of the 4 out of 10 MMA. So the joke stems from this idea that Bret buries everyone and that he thinks he's the master, and it's really stupid. Like, I thought it was funny at first. I thought the Triple H thing was funny, but outside of that, though, I didn't really think the 4 out of 10 thing could really be used elsewhere. But as you guys say, you know, IWC is going to ride what's hot at the moment, what's not, so.
Yeah, they're beating this thing into the ground. I mean, I was on Twitter last night watching this, and I just saw it constantly. It was just all over my feed, 4 out of 10, 4 out of 10, yada, 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 4 out of 10. You know, I just don't get it. And also, you know, I even wasn't even on Twitter at this moment, but when I saw Triple H kick Wade Barrett in the balls, straight up in the balls, I went on Twitter, and how many Triple H shovel jokes did I see? I can't even describe the amount of Triple H shovel jokes. Now, I'm not hating on you guys, you know, my Twitter followers, the people I follow, we're all friends. This is a wrestling community. We all get it. We all should have thick skin and not take everything personally, because it's not personal. Man, I fight with some people on a daily basis about, you know, John Cena or whatever, because I'm a Cena fan, and the majority of you guys out there are not. But Triple H kicking Wade Barrett in the balls, that's just Triple H being Triple H. That had nothing to do with him burying Wade Barrett. It was Wade Barrett coming out, standing right in front of Triple H, and Triple H just doing what he does, man. That's kicking guys in the nuts. But speaking of trips, a guy I used to call Bangs, a.k.a. Bangs the Boss's daughter, let's talk about this match coming up with Brock Lesnar. And we talked about it a little bit last week, but he cut a promo last night. And it's confusing me by the week, because you figure a guy like Triple H would mention the fact that he barely effing wrestles anymore. He wrestles twice a year. Whenever he does come back, he decides to wrestle whoever's hot at the moment, whoever generates the biggest buy rate, whatever the case may be. Personally, I'm not going to change my stance on Triple H. I think he shouldn't even be on the card. If you're going to be booking the damn shows, if you're going to be working backstage in that kind of capacity, don't wrestle, man. Don't wrestle. Put everything into what you're going to do next. You got to have your mind set on the plan after WrestleMania. You don't got to get in the ring anymore, Trips. Come on. Like, this is just another spot taken away from a guy who may deserve to be on the card. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. I don't mind seeing Triple H wrestle. It's cool and all. If he was still an active competitor and wasn't banging Stephanie every night, which I envy him for, but if he was just a normal wrestler, I'd be freaking fine with him wrestling Brock Lesnar. But he's not. He is the son-in-law of the boss. And before we get into that, I'm going to take a caller, which is awesome. Got a caller. If you want to call the show, once again, 760-888-5749. So let's kick it to the 512 area code. What's your name? Where you're from?
Ben from Austin, Texas.
Ben from Austin, Texas. What's up, Ben? What do you got to say tonight?
Nothing much. I'm just excited for WrestleMania. And I just was wondering if you share my opinion on, I like Ryback, but I don't like how they sometimes they have him get pretty much his butt kicked up and then have the comeback. I don't know. To me, it seems like if he's supposed to be a Goldberg clone, I would rather him just, like, no-sell anything and just obliterate everybody. That's just me.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to get away from. They don't want him to be a Goldberg clone. They want him to be the first Ryback and not the next Goldberg. But I see what you're saying. However, when he's going to wrestle three guys, three-on-one, you know, you gotta show a little bit of humanism. Like, in the beginning, when he was destroying guys left and right, if you remember, these jobbers, these no-name dudes, Ricky Reyes, who's a douche, he was one of the Dark Match guys. He got his ass kicked by Ryback, and Ryback no-sold practically everything. I don't think anybody got in any offense on him whatsoever. So they already accomplished that. Now that he's wrestling superstars, he's got to sell a little bit for these guys, or else you're defeating the purpose of trying to make this whole thing seem like it's, legit.
Okay. Do you think he's going to be able to lift Henry up?
Hell yeah. I guarantee you what Ryback is doing is training just to do that. He's training to lift Henry up, and I wouldn't be surprised if they are practicing that spot every single possible time they can before they let people into the building. Because in order to do that, lift a guy that sick, and it's not even just his weight. Mark Henry is compact. He's like a freaking bowling ball or some shit. You got to lift him up on your shoulders, march around with him. That takes repetition. And I'm sure Ryback's doing it over and over and over again to get it down so he doesn't, you know, botch it at WrestleMania. I'm almost going to guarantee, I'll say 99%, that spot looks awesome, and the whole building will just explode for it.
Hey, Jay, I have a question for you.
Go for it.
We don't talk about spoilers on this show, right?
No. No, we usually don't. I'm anti-spoiler. I like to watch the shows as they transpire. Do you have is it some kind of like huge news or what's the deal?
Okay, well, I don't want to spoil it exactly, but I've just been messaged something that happens on the SmackDown tapings. It just happened a few minutes ago, and it's related to the Cena heel thing. And if this is I don't know what to think now. I'll just say that.
Okay. I don't want to. I don't want to spoil it. I want to watch it. And
I think that's what the guy who said the devil thing about 20 minutes ago was talking about. Because I read that right before we go on the air. I know what Toph's talking about. And there's definitely.
Is that what I got tweeted before? The thing about selling a soul to the devil. By the way, Ben, thanks for the call, man. Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. Love the show.
Keep listening, man. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. That was Ben from Austin. Thanks for the call, brother. That's what I got the tweet about before, I guess, right? I got it from, okay, so
put it,
what
put
exactly,
it this way, when I read it, it reminded me of Mania X7. That's the first thing that came to my head.
And that's what I think they're trying to do, because if you're going that direction, the only way you can really go with it is Paul Heyman. Like I said, I'd mark the F out. I'd love it, because I'm going to be in that building. If somehow there's some kind of, I hate using the term because it's so attitude error, but if there's an unholy alliance between John Cena and CM Punk, if he's sold out to Paul Heyman to become WWE champion again, and defeat The Rock with maybe help from CM Punk or Brock Lesnar and or Brock Lesnar, that'd be awesome. I'd be down with that. But can you elaborate? Like, what exactly? Just tell me what exactly.
How far do you want to go with this?
I don't want to spoil exactly what happened, but
you can't dabble a little without going into the whole thing.
All right. Well, let's go back to what we were talking about then, and we'll leave that for a little bit later on. If somebody else wants to talk about it that bad, maybe we'll talk about it. But I was talking about
Triple H.
Sidetracked. Oh yeah,
Triple H.
Okay. Let's go back to Bangs. Okay, Bangs, the boss's daughter, Mr. Triple H, and Brock Lesnar. I'm going to kick it over to John real quick. Your thoughts on Triple H's promo last night and whether or not that's going to somehow affect the outcome of this match?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I get why Triple H is working Lesnar up until the point where Lesnar signed the extension. I mean, if anyone's going to send Lesnar out at the time before he signed the extension, it made sense for Triple H, you know, coming off of SummerSlam. Now that Lesnar signed the extension, I kind of thought, how are you going to have Lesnar lose to Triple H and regain any heat? Now, I'm not going to lie to you, with the whole career on the line thing, I know it still seems unlikely, but I kind of buy into the fact that maybe Hunter does lose at WrestleMania.
Yeah, because like I said before, he's essentially the booker. He's the guy that's calling a lot of these shots. What does he need to win anything for ever again? It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, if he wants to wrestle again, if he retires and is forced to retire, and down the line, let's say a year from now, he's somehow forced to wrestle again, they could book that. It's not like they haven't done it before.
Yeah. I really think with his role and his responsibilities, you know, I heard that stipulation 2 weeks ago, and I was like, eh. But then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? This is a great way for him to transition into what he's got to do. And like you just said, they could get creative 6 months to a year from now in a way to bring him back for one more match or one more storyline. I mean, heck, look at 2011. I mean, he basically, you know, the whole summer was on TV but was in an administrative role, you know, except for working Punk and, you know, putting over Awesome Truth. And, you know, he wasn't in the ring much in 11. So I don't know. I think he could lose. I think it makes sense. And you know what? Why not have Lesnar go over him? Why feed someone to Lesnar? You know, it saves someone from that. You know, for everyone that wants to talk about shovels and burials and all that hot garbage.
Yeah, especially since Brock is apparently going to work more dates this year or whatever. He'll be maybe at Extreme Rules. Who knows? CLD, let's take your thoughts on whether or not that promo last night by Triple H is going to affect the outcome.
I don't think there wasn't enough said to kind of convince me on that. I kind of skipped past it. I didn't really think as much of it. You know, I thought, you know, when he kicked Wade Barrett in the balls, I thought that was kind of funny. But, you know, I thought that was unnecessary. I think that even if Triple H didn't come out at all throughout the show, Paul Heyman was on the show, so it did remind you that Lesnar was still there. But honestly, they could have just done a promo package, and that could have freed up more time on the show. I honestly didn't think there was anything relevant enough to make me, like, invest. I'm already invested in the match, so I really don't think it really did anything for me.
Yeah, I want to see the match for sure. I think the match is going to be really good.
I already want to see the match. I just don't know what that 5 minutes of airtime did to convince somebody who maybe had doubts about the match. That's the part that I thought was a little confusing about it.
Yeah, I think to me, in my mind, it was Triple H coming off cocky and arrogant in a way. Just saying, Brock, I'm going to kick your ass. Maybe somehow underestimating Brock Lesnar and what he's actually made of and what he can do with that no-holds-barred stipulation, because that makes him damn scary. Once again, folks, you're listening to the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. We'll be joined in hour number two by Rhett Titus, one of the newest members of this scum faction in Ring of Honor. It's a new super stable. You got to check it out. And he's going into the Supercard of Honor on April 5th, Ring of Honor at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City, in the heart of New York City, where WrestleMania is taking place right down the road in New Jersey. There's going to be a big, huge 10-man tag on that show where Team Scum is going to take on Team ROH. So we'll talk about that a little later when Rhett Titus joins us. So stay tuned here on PWP Radio. Right now we're talking about Triple H, Brock Lesnar, and so let's get your thoughts on whether or not, you know, that promo last night, although it was short and sweet, I think it meant a little something. I kind of think it had Triple H come off a little bit overconfident. Do you think it will affect the outcome in any way, shape, or form, or is Triple H just going to continue with his shoveling?
It bored me, like every Triple H promo does. This feud does absolutely nothing for me. One of the most annoying things about this feud for me is Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar take shots at Triple H's family, and the character gets upset. Yet I recall last summer, when they were building to the first match at SummerSlam, Stephanie and Triple H were taking shots at Heyman's family, and it was okay. So they can take shots at Heyman's family, but Heyman can't take shots. That makes them both heels. That makes no sense. Their match previously, it was...
You're reading way too much into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
How am I reading too much into it? They made several shots at his family. Several shots, week after week. Stephanie and Triple H made demeaning comments towards Heyman's family, and that
actually,
was okay.
Actually, it was only Raw 1000, and Heyman actually started that with the kids and stuff.
Still,
that
it's
was
the
Raw
same
1000.
Thing.
Yes.
That feud never went personal past Raw 1000, and in that segment, Heyman actually went after the kids and went after Stephanie, and that's why Stephanie went off on that little work shoot on Heyman. They didn't work Heyman the rest of that feud. That feud was about Triple H and Lesnar, and then HBK got his ass handed to him. That's what
this
that feud
about. Sucks anyway. I don't really care about it. Their match was boring. It put me to sleep. This is a feud that should have happened 10 years ago. I have no interest in this feud. I don't care about either guy. This is something I'd rather see on Extreme Rules or some B-show pay-per-view. I completely agree with Jay. This is just something that's just hogging up space. That could go to a United States Championship match. Hello? No Cesaro? Whatever. I don't care about this feud. You're not going to hear any positive stuff from me from Triple H, no.
You could have had Brock Lesnar work with somebody fresh and new. I know you're taking the storyline, and that's what this WrestleMania is all about. You're arching these storylines from last year into this year. And it's something, and now the IWC will not agree with me on this, I guarantee that. And I hate bunching everybody together like this, but for years, people were complaining about the fact that WWE didn't have a plan for their storylines. They didn't have, like, these well-built-out storylines that took time and built over time. Well, this is something that they're kind of doing with these matches, although you're dealing with these part-time superstars where you can't build it each week to lead to a big match. It's something that TNA is trying to accomplish, I think, with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And go ahead. Okay. Let's stop for a second on Triple H and Brock Lesnar, and let's just arc it, because I've mentioned TNA, and I want to talk about TNA for about 5 minutes before we take a short break. Now, TNA Wrestling, they've been doing this Ace and Ace storyline. It's kind of coming into a head. And what they did the other week, last week on the show, was Bully Ray, man. Bully Ray stood out there in front of the camera and kind of told the whole story to anybody who was watching. I thought this was brilliant stuff by TNA. It was probably the best thing they've done since the Ace of Ace storyline has begun and kept going. So let's get your thoughts on Bully Ray kind of bringing the entire angle together last week. I'm going to kick it over to John. What are your thoughts?
I thought they were five of the best promos ever put together. That if you can watch them together, I think it comes out to like 22 minutes total. That is just 22 minutes of pure gold. That is what, you know, where has this been in years in telling a story from the genesis of it and not missing anything? You know, and even, you know, everyone who was, you know, again, you know, oh, but he got beat up by Aces and Eights. That doesn't make any sense. And he was like, no, sometimes you have to get your ass kicked for the greater good. And some nights it was my turn to get my ass kicked. Other nights it was Devon's turn. But at the end of the day, it was all about our plan. And I just thought, I mean, Bully's been phenomenal in the 2 weeks in this role. And those promos are just, that is what a heel is all about. Like when we had Bennett on a couple of weeks ago and Bennett said the whole point of being a heel is to get people to hate you, that is what Bully Ray just did last week. And that is, and I am far from a TNA guy, but that was just phenomenal.
Yeah, I didn't even think it was necessary to have him on the show. I know he kind of, like, in the live arena, I know he kind of walked out there and stood behind Brooke and intimidated her a little bit. And then he got that, Brooke Hogan's horrible. Brooke Hogan is horrible. All she is some tits and ass.
I loved him.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I have massive respect for Hulk Hogan, but his daughter has no business being on a wrestling show. Her freaking, she was awful, man. She's got no.
Guys, this isn't a work. My marriage is crumbling. Or whatever the hell she tweeted the night after lockdown.
Yeah, she's got no sense of wrestling psychology. So I thought that was kind of pointless. But I loved those segments throughout the show where you kind of tied the whole thing together and you got to understand. And you really got to see that Bully Ray was actually the guy that ran into the ring and hit Jeff Hardy in the back of the knee with a hammer. You saw that that was him for sure, which is awesome because they could have thrown anybody in that scenario to kind of swerve the fans. The only real swerve in the entire angle, in my opinion, was when they had the guy with the voice box talking to Hogan and Sting in the warehouse, and it was obviously Eric Bischoff, obviously, like 100% Eric Bischoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Eric Bischoff talks like. That was him.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that was a swerve, I would say, but everything else seemed to play out pretty well. Toph, big TNA fan, man. What were your thoughts on how this angle played out the other night?
Oh, Bill is a great storyteller. You know, anyone that watched his work in ECW can tell you otherwise. And I think Billy's the only person that could have made that type of promo and storytelling work. So, you know, they've already established him down. He's hated and all that good stuff. The only thing they need now is they just need the savior. They need the savior figure that's going to ultimately derail Bully, and hopefully it'll be AJ Styles.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I don't know what they're really doing with AJ. It's kind of, it seems weird to me right now. It seems like I think you were mentioning, Toph, it's kind of like the Luger Sting thing from 1996, 1997. But I don't know. It's on a completely different level. CLD, your thoughts on TNA and these Bully Ray promos and what is going to happen in the future?
I really loved it. I think that if you just had a half-hour show of just having that promo, I think I would have been happy regardless. Honestly, the wrestling was secondary compared to what they were trying to do. It was production. It was storytelling. It was the lead heel of the company or the champion of the company being on these promos. And that's part one of wrestling is being a good wrestler. Part two is being a good storyteller. And that was really great work. And that's credit to TNA production. That's credit to the writing staff. That's credit to everyone keeping in character. You know, and there's a lot of great people that should be, you know, thankful for that. And it was great stuff. And I even was one of the guys saying, you know, well, Bully Ray was getting attacked, you know, would not make sense of him being in the group. And then they explained it off right there. They explained the whole James Storm, Bobby Roode, Aries. You know, they explained everything, and it was really great to see. And I even saw Devon's Twitter account where Bully Ray was taking a picture of all the guys before his wedding, which means
I saw that.
Which means that obviously this from day one was meant to be for Bully Ray to be the lead heel. So there was no twists or turns like changing writing. It was all booked the way it was supposed to be booked. And it's a shame that only a small core of the audience of wrestling fans get to watch that, because I think they would be surprised and impressed and would probably want to tune in. But there's not enough marketing behind TNA to get that out there, and it's a shame because they should.
Yeah, that's a big problem they have that they've always had, and they'll continue to have most likely. I think going on the road is going to help that, but it's not going to happen overnight, that's for sure. How about you? All right, so we talked about Bully Ray. We're going to take a little break now. I need to recharge the batteries. We're going to hour two, and we're going to be joined by Rhett Titus from Ring of Honor. We'll be talking about Super Card of Honor coming up in just a couple of weeks at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Rhett Titus just turned, man, on the Ring of Honor faithful after a very successful babyface run, being a tag team champion, working some huge matches. He has turned on everybody, and he's joined Steve Corino, Jimmy Jacobs, Kevin Steen, and the rest of the Scum faction against ROH. But right now, we're just going to take a short intermission. I'm going to play a song from the band that's responsible for our theme song. So the Ocean Airs are right here from the Jersey Shore. So check them out, facebook.com/TheOceanAirsMusic. This song is called Dusty Dan. So check it out, take a listen, take a little breather from Wrestling Talk, and we'll be back in a few short moments with Rhett Titus. That was Dusty Dan by the Ocean Airs. We're back here live on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network, PWP Radio. We're here. So check out the Ocean Airs, man. They're responsible for our theme song, and they're from the Jersey Shore, and you know they're good friends of mine. So please check them out on Facebook. Check them out on the internet, the Ocean Airs. Now we're going to get back into wrestling talk in this hour. This is a two-hour live show, ladies and gentlemen. We're taking your calls all night long. We will be joined by Rhett Titus, the one and only Rhett Titus. This will be his third appearance on the show. He's a good friend of ours, but it's going to be a little different this time. We're not going to talk about who he grew up idolizing. We're not going to talk about how did you get your wrestling career started. None of that crap. We're going to get down to it. We're going to ask the tough questions. We're going to find out what he thinks about Kenny King achieving success in TNA Wrestling as the X Division Champion. That's his former tag team partner. We're going to talk about Scum, how that formed, how he turned heel, turned on the Ring of Honor fans, fans who have been behind him for the past year or two. It's going to be absolutely awesome. So we're talking about TNA. That's where we left off. We're going to continue with a little bit of TNA talk. And it leads me to Jeff Hardy now, once again, number one contender for the TNA championship. Now, a lot of people aren't big Jeff Hardy fans. I think he's the right guy. If you want to appeal to a massive amount of audience, a bigger fan base, he's the guy you want to go on the road with and kind of take it to the, as Hogan said, to the next level, brother. He's one of those guys. But, man, Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray again? Is this the right thing, Tove, or should they have went with Kurt Angle or somebody else?
I mean, he's a champion. He's got to get a rematch clause. I mean, we knew that was coming.
But that should come naturally. Did they really have to go through a fatal four-way match to kind of determine this?
I mean, I agree. I mean, but to be fair, I mean, you know, rematch clauses, you know, we could probably just dedicate an entire, show to that. Rematch clauses is something that a lot of old school wrestling fans like ourselves were used to. Sometimes they acknowledge that today in wrestling, and sometimes they don't. I think that four-way was they just wanted to put out a good match for the Chicago crowd, and, you know, it was okay. But, yeah, I mean, obviously Hardy's not going to win. He's going to lose again, and, you know, he'll just be back to his upper mid-card emergency main event status. So, yeah.
Yeah, they got to find something. I guess he's just going to continue feuding with Aces and Nates, and that's the one issue I kind of have with Aces and Nates. It's been going on for so long that these baby faces, the same guys, this whole entire time, have been feuding with them, for the most part anyway. And is it going to get stale? Is it going to get boring? What do you think, Will? Is Aces and Nates going to get stale by the way it's going, the kind of road it's taking?
I would say not right now. I would say it's still too new. It's only been 2 weeks since the whole thing. So they have a couple of months to build this up. You know, they have a while for Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray. They can build this up. They got time now without having a pay-per-view in 3 weeks. So there's a lot of build to it. I still think that Bully Ray at the end of the day is going to be the guy, you know, and he should be. But this is a good starting point. I think they're trying to have one baby face of the company try to beat him, and I think that it's just not going to be enough power, and I think at the end of the day, AJ is going to be the guy. But right now, you know, I think Jeff Hardy's a good pick. I don't think Kurt Angle's a good pick because he's lost matches, and he hasn't looked good. He's been weak since Ace and Nate's been taking him out, which is the right way they should do it because he's been a major target. And he's been taken out left and right, Kurt Angle, so he didn't look strong enough for it.
He's still feuding with Briscoe and Garrett anyway, so.
Yeah, true. Right. I was just kind of bringing him up as a name, maybe just an alternative, because have they confirmed this? Is Jeff Hardy going to take on Bully Ray at the next pay-per-view, or is that going to happen somewhere?
April 11th at the Corpus Christi show.
I think it's going to be similar to what they did in WCW. You know how he said Hogan went through a lot of roadblocks before with Sting. You know, it's going to be Hardy, then it's going to be Joe, then it's going to be James Storm, and you know after you know a few months of this, ultimately, hopefully, it'll be AJ. So.
Yeah, it seems like it's a pretty solid plan considering we're dealing with the same masterminds behind the NWO. John, what are your thoughts on this Jeff Hardy getting another shot, getting his rematch anyway?
Didn't someone write an article about some challengers for Bully Ray recently? I don't know. That might just be my old mind going crazy. But, I mean, it's a natural rematch. It's fine. You know, they're going to do it at a live show, which is fine. It's going to make these TV shows seem all the more special. And, yeah, you know, everyone else has said he's going to go through the line of guys, Hardy, you know, Joe, you know, Angle, you know, maybe Magnus, you know. And then it's going to be, you know, Sting even, you know. Let's not forget Sting. Sting will probably get one of the pay-per-view title matches, though. I can't see Sting getting an Impact title match. And then it's going to be decision time. Is it AJ Styles the savior, or is it the father defending his daughter at Bound for Glory? And that's, you know, going to be the decision they're going to have to make probably within the next couple of months just to determine where their booking's going to go.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, fans out there, Rhett Titus from Ring of Honor will be joining us shortly. He just informed me he's, you know, running a little bit late from work. He's going to be joining us in just a little bit, working out at the gym, tearing it up. He'll be on the line. We'll talk with him about Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor coming up, his recent heel turn, and turning on the fans. That's going to be a big deal that we're going to talk about. It's going to be all brand new material with Rhett the Threat. Rhett Titus, he will be with us shortly. So, thinking about Hogan stepping back in that ring against Bully Ray in any way, shape, or form, that's going to be an ugly match. They're going to have weapons. They're going to have blood. They're going to have to pull all kinds of gimmicks to get something out of Hulk Hogan that is actually watchable, feasible, because man, he's been through so much. Don't get me wrong, I love the guy, and he can pull it off, no question about it. But to build this storyline for over a year and bring it to Hogan versus Bully at Bound for Glory, that's kind of a stretch. So do you think that's the way it's going to plan out, or do you think AJ Styles is the guy?
Hogan's not wrestling anybody. That was just Hogan being silly and people are just taking it way too seriously. This guy's back is shot. He can barely walk. He's not wrestling anybody. At most, he'll do a street fight. I'm surprised he was even able to work with Sting at 2011. He took like 4 or 5 Stinger splashes, 2 of them to his back. You know, I'm not the biggest Hogan fan, but I just wish these Hogan jokes would stop. You know, he's not working anybody. He can barely walk.
It's not a joke. It's, you know,
it wasn't to be a joke.
It's look at where the story's going, you know.
He can barely walk, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I don't want to joke about
it. In Hogan's mind, he's still 25, you know, for Dixie and for TNA, it's the attraction of Hulk Hogan. You know, you and I know, yeah, he can barely move, and, you know, a statue might have more mobility than him, but from a business standpoint, this may be too much for TNA to turn down. You know,
we'll see, I guess. It's just right now,
I mean,
I just don't think
it
will work.
It's not crazy. It's not to think that it's a possibility. It's not crazy.
If you book it properly and you give Hulk Hogan the right platform, he can give you something watchable. It's definitely not out of their mind to do it. I think he's going to lace up the boots at some point in the storyline. There's no question about that in my mind. Whether it'll be a one-on-one match with Bully for the TNA title, I don't think so. How about you, Will, TLD, man, your thoughts on Hogan possibly stepping in the ring with Bully Ray?
I think they'll do it on they should do it on Impact Wrestling, if anything, as a special, like, hardcore match or something like that, because you can hide it. I remember when they had the Vince McMahon-CM Punk match on Raw, and that was one of the best matches of the year. It really was. It was really – people were really into that match. And I think they could do the same thing in this scenario – because they could do the blood, they could do the hardcore weapons, you know, down the line. I think they should have that match, you know, but at the end of the day, it's going to be, I keep saying end of the day, it's going to be Bully Ray winning it, you know, and I think Hogan should get in there, but on Impact, but I don't think it should be like a full-fledged match. It should be promoted well, it should be in between a pay-per-view, and I think people would watch it. I think it would get a lot of Impact viewers.
Yeah, if they're promoted for Impact, for a live show primarily, it would definitely draw a rating. It would boost the rating for sure. But it's all about the marketing. It's all about making the wrestling fans know that Hulk Hogan is going to be stepping back into that wrestling ring. And it's something that, you know, maybe we'll see, maybe we won't. But only time will tell how they're going to play this all out. I have a scary feeling, though, that if they don't get different guys involved on the babyface side, it's going to eventually get really stale. So they have to kind of, like, work different guys into this feud, man. It's been Kurt Angle since the beginning, since Samoa Joe pretty much since the beginning. Magnus kind of was attacked. Now he's back in it. It's just been a really long time if you think about it. And we'll just see how TNA handles that. But just moving along, a little bit more TNA stuff before Rhett Titus joins us just a few short moments. I'm a big fan right now of what Austin Aries and Bobby Roode are doing. And I want that tank top, that Dirty Heel tank top. That thing is awesome, but they're not selling it yet. That's something they should put on the TNA shop pretty much immediately. But as tag team champions, their goal being to achieve every single championship in the company. Right now with Bully having the World Heavyweight title and D-Von with the TV title, it seems unlikely. They're both heels, and I don't see them getting involved in that feud. But this leads me to talk about the tag team division in TNA. Right now you basically only have 3 tag teams. That's all you got. And you got these 2 main event stars, Roode and Aries, as your tag team champions. Now, what does the future hold for them, and will they go back to singles runs shortly when they drop the belts? Because you know it's going to happen eventually, and I'm going to kick it to toe first, man. What do you think about Aries and Roode? How long can this tag team really stick together?
Well, Roode has been in his beer money tag team days for a while, so I imagine he probably doesn't want to be in it too long. He wants to get back to his singles run. But they are a good tag team. I was really confused at the booking on last week when I think Bad Influence, Daniels and Kazarian interfered and they attacked him. Looks like they were setting up a heel-on-heel tag team feud, unless they're planning on turning one of them face, which would be kind of unusual, you know. But I think Aries is kind of a wild card. Even though he's a heel, he seems to get mixed reactions. A lot of fans cheer him a lot. So I definitely see Aries going face again at some point. Rude is the better as a heel. As far as how long they can stay together as a team, I think about a good year. TNA, they have very long reigns for their titles, much longer than other companies. I think they could hold on to it for the whole year probably.
Yeah, but what they brought out of tag teams for them to face, that's the thing. If you have three tag teams, you got Chavo, you have Hernandez, you have Bad Influence. I mean, who else is there out there to, for them to face? You're going to have to throw a couple of the baby faces together.
They can easily pair up Joe and Magnus again. They can get any variation from Aces and Eights and make them a tag team. They can bring up some new guys from OVW. I know when they're doing these one-and-only pay-per-views, I've heard some stories about the Young Bucks or Generation Me, whatever you call them. I know they were getting reviews. They could call them back up. I mean, tag team wrestling's different now. Nowadays, you just pair up two people, and they're a tag team. I know that's not how we see tag teams, but that's just how it is today in wrestling, unfortunately.
It's something they definitely need to do if they want to continue to capitalize on these two great heels as tag team champions that could put on an awesome match every single night. John, your thoughts on Aries and Rude and the future of the TNA tag team champions?
They're great right now. You know, they really are. Yeah, I can see one of them. This feud's going to turn one of them face when they finally lose the belts. They'll break up and, you know, they'll go into a storyline with each other, and then they'll both be, you know, high mid-card, you know, main event guys again, as well they should be. You know, they're a great stopgap right now, you know, until you're ready to pull the plug on, you know, and ready you pull the trigger and put the belts back on Bad Influence, as well they should be, and they should be the champs.
Yeah, Bad Influence definitely has a lot of momentum as well. There's a pretty hilarious, the whole
the Legion of Boom.
Yeah, throwback Thursday thing definitely cracks me up every single time. How about you, Will? Your thoughts on Aries and Rude and what the state of the TNA tag team division is right now?
I think it's going very well.
That's all you got?
Well, I mean, everything's been said. You know, I mean, I mean, personally, I think I'm a better tag team than them, no doubt about it. But if you guys like their style, that's fine.
Yeah, they just really need to add a little bit of depth to this division. You need more people
involved. A little bit of TLD, you know?
Hey, do we have any time to talk about Aries, or are we running out of time, Jay?
You want to talk about Austin Aries?
Yeah, just for a minute.
Yeah, go for it.
What I love the most about Austin Aries, you know, besides his charisma and his personality and his in-ring ability, I love the way that TNA has booked him. And what I mean by that is TNA has booked Aries in a way where you know he's a credible contender and he's a credible threat to any world title. But unlike WWE, where they just have you run through everybody, there's still a good amount of people on the roster that Aries has not had a feud with since his return because, you know, he was in TNA at one point as Austin Starr. He has not had an actual feud with James Storm. He hasn't had any encounters with Kurt Angle at all. He hasn't had any feuds with AJ Styles. There's a lot of guys on the rosters that, you know, Aries has not had top feuds with. In fact, in my opinion, I think that if Angle was to retire legitimately, I could actually see an Aries-Angle feud. I think that would be a great match. And one of the things that I dislike about WWE is that when they push people, they just go through the entire roster to the point where you're just kind of scratching your head wondering, like, you know, where do you go from here? Like Ziggler, for example. I was sitting here this morning thinking about, you know, if he cashed in, where does he go? And I can't even give you an answer because every single person on the roster, he's fought. There's nothing new. There's nowhere for him to go. And that's what I love the most about Aries. He's still very fresh, even though he's been there for over a year.
That's practically the same deal with a guy like Cesaro we were talking about. He's facing everybody. I mean, how many times have you wrestled Alberto Del Rio just in the past 2 months? That really shows you the lack of depth in that kind of mid-card in WWE at this point. But in TNA, let me tell you what, Austin Aries is a guy that's got the it factor. I know that's Bobby Roode's nickname, but Austin Aries has it. And I've known that since 2004 when he beat Samoa Joe for the Ring of Honor Championship. Like, he's the man. He can go out there and go nonstop. And WWE passed on Aries, and that makes me laugh because they had a chance to bring this guy in. He tried out for Tough Enough, believe it or not. I don't know if everybody out there knows that.
Yeah.
But Austin Aries tried out for Tough Enough, and he got denied. And then he was going to retire, but TNA, he gave TNA another shot. He went there, they wanted him, he went there, and it worked out. So Austin Aries is a guy who's amazing. How about you, John? Get anything to add on Austin Aries?
Yeah, I mean he's phenomenal. You know, he's awesome. You know, it's ironic. You know, yeah, he wasn't good enough for Tough Enough, But yet I think he did all their motion capture for either WWE 11 or 12, whatever video game came out that year.
Yeah, he did.
So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it was just a little weird that, you know, they used him for that, but, you know, they felt he wasn't, you know, he wasn't any good. And it's surprising, especially with the, you know, some of the small guys like Daniel Bryan, you know, even Punk, you know, Seth Rollins and all those guys they're bringing in from ROH. I'm surprised that he never got picked up by them. I was really surprised at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only was he doing their motion capture in the video game, he did their voiceover for that character that they used. All his moves were it. Like, they did. He had the freaking elbow. He had the little dive through the ropes. They had everything, and it was Austin Aries pretty much in the game. If you created Aries, you give him that moveset, and bam, you got an Aries in that game.
Yeah.
Will, anything to add on Austin Aries?
He's the greatest man that ever lived.
That simple. It's that simple, coming from TLD, who's probably pretty exhausted from a long game of volleyball. But right now, ladies and gentlemen...
No, actually, I have no volleyball tonight. I'm actually having one of the very last Twinkies of the universe right here in my hand. I actually have Twinkies left.
You got to sell that thing on eBay, man. Don't eat it. Put it down right now.
They're coming back.
You know, there's nothing like a yellow cake with cream filling in it.
Okay, we're not promoting Twinkies tonight. What we have been promoting all night is an interview with Ring of Honor star and member of Scum, Rhett Titus, and he is on the line with us right now. It's his third appearance on PWP Radio. What's up, Rhett? Rhett Titus, you there, man? Oh, wait a second. We got Rhett. Rhett, you on the line, brother?
Yes, sir.
What's up, man? How you doing tonight?
I'm feeling gravy, baby. How about you?
I'm hanging in there, bro. And we got a lot to talk about, man. I've been hyping this interview up all night long. The fans are excited. Everybody wants to know what the deal is with Rhett Titus. And so do I, man. You've turned your back on the Ring of Honor fans. You joined the evil trio of Kevin Steen, Jimmy Jacobs, Steve Corino, and now a bunch of other guys. You know, the Scum is huge, and you've joined them. What the hell, man? Why'd you turn your back on the Ring of Honor fans?
Well, let's get it straight. First things first, Rhett Titus didn't turn his back on the Ring of Honor fans or Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor turned their back on Rhett Titus. You know, I was always a company man. Anything they ever needed, you know, asked me, no problem. Anything. I always talked to Ring of Honor up to the highest, even during its darkest days. And you know, Kenny King, he leaves, and I wind up getting stripped of the titles. You know, that had a big to do with it, you know. It was a very frustrating few months following that, you know. Kept being told, oh, yeah, you'll have a T-shirt coming out. Oh, yeah, you'll have a DVD coming out. Oh, yeah, you know, we got big plans for you. You're going to be in some big matches coming up. Lies, lies, lies. And, you know, Steve Corino, you know, it's no secret that he was my favorite wrestler growing up as a kid. He pulled me aside one day, and we had a very, very great talk. And he had a lot of smart things to say, and a very reasonable person. And, I liked seeing things from his point of view.
Well, that's something I wanted to talk about with you. Steve Corino, man, it seems like he's influencing this entire rebellious stable that's happening right now. Scum seems to be his brainchild, the mastermind of the evil Steve Corino, and he's influenced you, obviously, but like you said, he was your favorite wrestler growing up. But what are your thoughts on Steve Corino now, and he's kind of taking control of this faction?
I think he has a great mind. I mean, he's brought together a group of guys that are going to take down Ring of Honor. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, invasion angles and stables or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, they sit around and they don't really do jack. He's brought together a group of guys who are hell-bent on tearing this company down. And, you know, there's nothing better that I'd like to see than Ring of Honor go down, right down the toilet, and I'd be one of the guys standing there laughing as it happens. I used to love Ring of Honor, but, you know, you can only be pushed so far.
Yeah, you know what? Coming from you, I don't really blame you, man, because I know you just got off a rib injury. How are your ribs doing?
They're doing quite all right, you know. If it's not something else, it's, you know, it's another injury, you know. You professional wrestling, constantly battling injuries, you know, working hurt, but you just always got to pull through it and carry on.
Yeah, well, this stable, this scum, man, you got guys like Rhino, Matt Hardy, like we mentioned, Carino. We've got Cliff Compton, Jimmy Rave. These are guys that have been up and down the road. They've been all over the place, and they are now your teammates. I mean, what are your thoughts of working so closely with Rhino, Matt Hardy, you know, Jimmy Rave, and Cliff Compton?
I mean, honestly, the sky's the limit for it because, you know, how much I'm going to learn from all these guys compared to how much I would have learned from, say, B.J. Whitmer. I mean, B.J. Whitmer is a great guy, but, you know, he's drinking that ROH Kool-Aid, and he just seems to can't get enough of it. He loves it. You know, even though they turned their backs on him back in 2008, he seems to forget that. And what Steve Corino offers, he offers, you know, a great place to learn and great protection, friendship. And all these guys have taken me under their wing, teaching me a thing or two. You know, I was just at Steve Corino's wedding the other week, you know, having a great time. And, you know, B.J. Whitmer, what is he going to offer me?
Great point. I mean, it seems like it's the right fit for you right now. And I watched that show, the 11th anniversary. I sat there and I saw you come out and I swore that you were going to be the guy to save the day. I thought this was going to be your moment to be that big save the day. But, man, when you turned, I was shocked. My jaw hit the floor, and I think it was the most effective out of anybody that night. As far as shock value was concerned, how did that night feel with Scum in the Ring United taking down that entire fleet of Ring of Honor stars?
I mean, to be completely honest, you know, I wasn't even supposed to be in Chicago. Ring of Honor didn't have me booked. But, you know, I said, oh, it's, you know, big 11th anniversary. I got to be there. And, but I knew what was going down. I knew what the plan was, and I knew that the plan would come out. But to be honest, I second-guessed myself a little bit during the day. I was getting some cold feet. And then I saw the company owner, Joe Koff, and he completely blew me off that day. And, you know, he wanted to go talk to Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander instead of me. I'm saying that like, damn, you know, this is a guy that, you know, has been busting his ass for the company for years and years. And here you got these two flash in the pans coming, Johnny Come Lately. And, you know, he just completely blows me off for these two guys. And then I was pretty like, all right, you know, let's do this. And by the time I got out there and actually did the deed, I knew I had done the right thing and made the right choice.
Wow, that's some strong words from you tonight, Rhett. Definitely uncharacteristic of you lately, but let's kick it to John real quick. John, you got any questions for Rhett tonight?
Yeah, Rhett, what's up, man? How's it going?
What's going on, John?
Got a question for you. Steen's got the world title, and it looks like Hardy's focusing in on the TV title. Any plan on getting together with anybody and going after those tag belts?
So what? Ring of Honor can just take the tag team titles away from me? I've been a tag team champion, and you know, for what, 3 weeks before Ring of Honor stripped me of the titles for doing nothing wrong? I did absolutely nothing wrong. So what? Kenny King decides to go to TNA. Why punish me? I would have fought everybody off by myself. I would have been happy to. I would have found another partner. But no, I get stuck with Charlie Haas' stupid tag team title tournament. They can keep their belts, all that good stuff. You know, I'm just content and watching the company burn, brother.
Nice.
Wow, strong words. Really, really, really strong words tonight. I'm going to kick it to my man TLD. TLD, you got anything for Rhett tonight?
You know, as I'm sitting here having my wonderful Twinkie with the cream filling,
still eating the Twinkie? Put down the Twinkie, man.
Where'd you get that Twinkie? Where'd you get that? They're extinct now.
Yeah, yeah. See, I got that for Christmas, and I kept it in my fridge. That way, when I knew the right time was to have that Twinkie, it was tonight here on PWP Radio. Hashtag. So,
hashtag Twinkie.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what was that? Yeah,
hashtag Twinkie. What do they call? What do they call? Brett, what do they call the referee, man? Twinkie, what is it? Twinkies. They chant Twinkie at him?
Yeah, in New York City.
Todd Sinclair, unbelievable. Go ahead, TLD, your thoughts on for Brett.
So, what's it like? Because I have worked with Steve Corino, and I've always had my personal vendettas against him. What's it like to be with Steve Corino, the person, and Steve Corino, the wrestler?
Thank you for taking time to put down your dinky Twinkie to ask that question. Steve Corino, he's a great guy. He calls it how he sees it, you know. He's not going to sit there and, you know, play pro wrestler to you and brother it up and be like, oh, you know, tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you the truth, and that's exactly what he told me. Steve Corino outside of the ring, he does have a little bit of softer side of him, you know, having just attended his wedding, you know, met his beautiful wife, you know, but in the ring, you know, he's as evil as it gets, and that's the way it's got to be. This is a dog-eat-dog business, and if you sit around and you know, pamper everybody and suck up to everybody, you know, what's it going to get you in the end? You know, we're all out for the same thing. We're all out to make money and go to bigger and better places. And, you know, I think Steve Corino is a guy that's going to help me get there.
Okay, all right. I'm going to bring in my man, Toph. Now, Toph, Brett Titus, man, he's been with Ring of Honor for years. He's obviously upset with the company. Do you have anything for
Rhett
tonight?
Yeah, two questions, sort of. One, I'm not sure. I apologize if I'm wrong. Is it true that you were trained by Austin Aries and Brian Danielson? And if so, what was it like to be trained by them?
Yes, I was trained by both of those gentlemen. Austin Aries was very cool to train under. From the first day of practice, he said, you know, this isn't, you know, I'm not here to make you do squats and push-ups and, you know, I'm not your personal trainer. You can do that on your own time. I'm your wrestling trainer. You're going to come here. You're going to learn wrestling. And that's what we did. And, you know, I learned a lot from Austin Aries. And then later on, got the tag team with him, got the six-man tag team with him. He was my manager. Got to learn a lot more from him, from actually being in the ring and under live circumstances. So it was always a great experience with Austin Aries. As far as Brian Danielson, we had a little bit of differences, so it wasn't always as smooth. Brian Danielson was more of the, you know, do squats until you can't walk and do push-ups and sprints and all this crazy stuff. You know, and then at the end of practice, when you're dead tired, you know, you'd learn some wrestling moves. And it always bothered me because I'd always be going to practice to train with Brian at the end of work. And for some reason, I could just never make it to the school on time from where I lived. And I'd always be a few minutes late, and I'd always have to do extra squats, extra running, extra everything. So I never forget this. The one day I was on my way, and I hit a little bit of traffic. I was making good time, and I hit a little bit of traffic. I was like, oh, no. So I'm sitting in the traffic. I'm like, all right, I got this. So I put my boots on and put all my knee pads on, and I was all ready to go and just waiting. Finally got to the school. It's like 4:59. Practice started at 5, ran up the stairs real quick, and hopped into the ring and made it in there by 5 o'clock because you always had to be in the ring by 5 o'clock or you're considered late. So I just made it in just in the nick of time. And I was like, I beat the system. And then all of a sudden, Brian started screaming, who the hell is tracing dirt into my ring? And he looked down at my boots, and I guess I stepped in mud or something running from the car to the ring and had to do those extra squats and extra push-ups and extra running anyway. So I did learn a lot from him, though, and he's a great guy, and wish him nothing but the best.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for those interesting stories, and you're like the only reason I like Scum. So, yay.
Don't worry, brother. There'll be tons of more reasons to like us in the future.
Yeah, that seemed to be a common problem from the fans that I've noticed over the last month or so. And that is that a lot of the additions to Scum just seem kind of random, whereas you seem to fit the mold perfectly. Although I personally saw you coming out to save the day and getting, maybe kicking everybody's ass and throwing them out and you reign supreme. But you fit the mold of joining this group to take down ROH, which is, as you've said all over and over again tonight, has just put it to you. After all these years of services, they've really given you not a fair shake. So that seems to be the fans' perception of it. What do you want to say to the fans about how you joined Scum and what to think for the future of this company and this feud?
Well, you bring up the interesting point of, all these other guys maybe not fitting, but take a look at, let's say Jimmy Rave, all right? Jimmy Rave is a guy who was with Ring of Honor from 2003 up until, I believe, about 2007, 2008, around that area.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, at the time, was going through some personal issues, and rather than trying to help the guy, they just got rid of him, released him from his contract, told him to hit the hay. A few years later, they brought him back, and, nothing for you, Jimmy, sorry. Bang. Jimmy Rave, a guy who, busted his ass for years and years for Ring of Honor, just thrown out in the cold like that. Then you take a guy like Cliff Compton, and you look at him, and, he's a guy who had had a few tryout matches with Ring of Honor down in OVW back in, probably about 2010 or so. And, Ring of Honor was very high on him, like, oh, yeah, you'll be back, you'll be back, you'll be back. Not this month, sorry, Cliff. But then you see them bringing in all these other guys from here and there, and, your ACHs, your Caprice Colemans, your Cedric Alexanders, and there's no room for Cliff Compton after he was promised a spot. I mean, of course that guy is going to be pissed. Then you take a guy like Matt Hardy, who was promised, who did whatever Nigel McGuinness asked him to do to get a Ring of Honor World TV title shot against Adam Cole in Chicago. And the night before, at the 11th anniversary, Adam Cole loses the belt to Matt Taven, and Matt Hardy stuck there with a thumb up his ass. And Nigel McGuinness tells him, oh, well, he's not the champion no more. Your match is a non-title match. And, the ROH fans nor the ROH office ever gave Matt Hardy a fair shake. This is a guy who's whenever I'm out with him, people stop to take his picture. He's a well-known person. And Ring of Honor just continues to treat him like crap for no apparent reason. Then you take a guy like Rhino, and Rhino will make no bones about it. He's there for the money, and as long as you keep paying Rhino, he's going to keep goring people. So line them up, he'll gore them down, then pay the man. So everybody fits in. A lot of people just don't understand people's reasons as to why they fit in, but at the end of the day, we all know what we're about, we know what we're going for, and we know that we're going to get it.
That's very interesting that you put it that way, man. It kind of puts it in perspective, not only me, but the rest of the fans out there that were kind of questioning the direction of what was going on, man, because it didn't seem apparent at the time how they were involved, but now it makes perfect sense. It's clear as day. But I'm happy you brought up Nigel McGuinness, because tomorrow night we will have Nigel McGuinness live, 9:00 on the Radio Show. Yeah,
Nigel McGuinness.
We're going to have him. And I'm going to talk to him about this.
This is the Red Titus Show right now. We don't talk about Nigel McGuinness on the Red Titus Show. This is the Red Titus Show. So you can leave that wanker, as you want to call him, in his DVD, and he can go have a nice time tomorrow night. But as far as now, we're talking about Red Titus.
Man. So I take it, whereas, like, Nigel McGuinness, he was I know I'll bring him up again, but I just want to ask you about him. He was the champion for Ring of Honor for a long time. He was kind of carrying the company a little bit when you were just a young guy in the company, trying to make your name, made for yourself, and all that stuff. And he hasn't been influenced some way, shape, or form at the time, but your feelings have kind of changed. Just let me know a little bit why your feelings have changed so hard for Nigel McGuinness.
I used to have the utmost respect for Nigel, a stand-up guy, go out there in the ring, you know, do whatever it takes to get the job done, put his body on the line, you know, go out there for the fans and just, you know, totally give it 135%, everything he has. Nowadays, Nigel's a shell of his former self, and Nigel is so content on keeping his job at Ring of Honor. He is the biggest, and when I say biggest, I mean the biggest kiss ass that I have ever seen. As soon as Joe Koff walks into the building, Nigel McGuinness is over there running, grabbing his bag. Oh, Mr. Koff, what do you need? Oh, you know, talking him up. Joe Koff this, Joe Koff that. You know, when Jim Cornette was around, he was just talking Jim Cornette's ear off. Oh, Mr. Cornette, tell me about, you know, the feuds with the Mighty Nine Express and the Rock and Roll Express and his crappy British accent. Nigel's the epitome of what's wrong with wrestling. He's the ultimate professional wrestler because he will brother you up to the end of the day and he'll just talk you up. But in the meantime, he's probably wishing harm on these people behind their backs. He's probably hoping that they end up like him and not able to wrestle.
Wow. Jeez. Okay. I'm going to kick it back to Will. Hopefully he's done with that Twinkie now. TLT, got anything else for Rhett tonight?
No, I kind of like this Rhett Titus better. I'm kind of enjoying it. You know, I'm kicking back, listening to what he's got to say. And there's a lot of good points he's making behind it, you know, what's been going on with Ring of Honor lately and, you know, the position of it. You know, we were there for one of the first nights when Kevin Steen, me and Jay were, when Kevin Steen came back and got involved, and we were kind of there with when it first started. It's amazing what it's grown to right now, and hopefully you guys, you know, make a big statement on April 5th, big WrestleMania weekend, big wrestling weekend for you guys.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Super Card of Honor. If you guys want to check out Ring of Honor WrestleMania weekend, this will probably be your last chance to do so. So I... The tickets are sold out at Hammerstein Ballroom for the Friday night show, Saturday night show, the TV taping. There is still some tickets left. I just got signed. Nigel McGuinness, you know, Mr. Big Martin, Nigel McGuinness, had to sign this big 5-on-5 Ring of Honor versus Scum match for the pay-per-view Supercard of Honor 7. And Nigel McGuinness is going to... You notice how he puts all his soldiers out on the front line, but he's staying back. And he's going to watch all his men be casualties of war and watch Scum reign supreme over every single member of the Ring of Honor roster. And there ain't going to be a damn thing Nigel McGuinness is going to do about it but sit there and whimper like a little bitch.
Oh, man. Well... Just to let everybody know, the match Rhett is referring to is yourself, Rhett Titus. It'll be Rhino, Jimmy Rave, Jimmy Jacobs, and Cliff Compton taking on DJ Whitmer, Caprice Coleman, Cedric Alexander, Mike Mondo, and at the time, Mark Briscoe. And we'll see if that changes somehow because I know he's getting a shot at the Ring of Honor Championship against Kevin Steen. Now that I bring up your champion of Scum, Kevin Steen, he's a Ring of Honor champion. He's your top guy in Scum. What are your thoughts of working with Kevin Steen now? You know, I've followed your career. I've followed his career. You guys haven't really butted heads too much throughout that time period. You haven't had that much interaction. So what are your thoughts on Kevin Steen?
I mean, to be honest, We were beefing a little bit over the summer and into the fall. You know, I wrestled him a few times. Very tough guy. Very, you know, he doesn't look like much of a power guy, but he does pack some power behind all of his weight. And, you know, we're cool now. We're cool enough. You know, I'm not going to call him up and be like, hey, you know, Kevin, why don't you come down, bring your kid, play with my kid, we'll have a good time, that sort of thing. But, you know, we have similar-minded goals. And when you have similar-minded goals, you tend to put differences aside and work together for the better. So Kevin Steen is probably happy that he has a soldier like Rhett Titus out there protecting his Ring of Honor world title. You know, he's got B.J. Whitmer coming up as a challenger. And come Asheville, North Carolina, B.J. Whitmer will be non-existent afterwards once I get done with him. Kevin Steen is happy to have a guy like Rhett Titus on his side.
Absolutely. I'd be happy, too. Kick it back to John. John, any final questions or comments for Rhett tonight?
No, I'm good, man. I'm waiting to see them burn it all to the ground.
Let it burn, dog.
Oh, man. This is pumping me up. I'm thinking about trying to get into Supercard of Honor now. I was kind of on the fence. I was thinking about going to Pro Wrestling Syndicate, maybe some WWE Access, but I might be heading up to the Hammerstein Ballroom. I was thinking about it. Toph, any final questions or comments for Rhett Titus?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, did you have a, so far in your career, who would you say is your favorite tag team partner to team up with?
My favorite tag team partner. I'm going to have to go with Sugarfoot. We had a lot of good tag team matches together. Me and Sugarfoot had some great times together. And, you know, hopefully someday down the line, me and Sugarfoot be tag teaming again.
Okay. He's another guy. You guys should bring him in because he's a friend of mine, and man, I don't think he got a fair shake with Ring of Honor. What do you think about that, Rhett?
You know, it's it is what it is. You know, a lot of people have gotten rough deals from Ring of Honor. You know, Sugarfoot being one of them. You know, you look at a guy like the Necro Butcher. You look at a guy like Austin Aries, who got, you know, let go at the peak of his career. I'm sure Ring of Honor is kicking himself in the ass right now. We're looking at how well he's doing. Take a guy like Kenny King, you know. He showed up on TNA once, and Ring of Honor jumped the bullet and fired the guy. I mean, you know, it's, you know, Ring of Honor, Young Bucks, TJ Perkins, just goes on and on and on, and all these guys just seem to do well without Ring of Honor. And that's why I can't wait to watch this place demolish and then succeed and laugh at all the haters that are left over.
Yeah, man. Now, one thing, we did this last time, and we've got about 12 minutes left in the show, and you told a great story last time, a road story, about how you went down to Florida with Chris Hero, and you just had a great time at the club, and a bunch of shenanigans took place. Do you have any other maybe great road stories or something exclusive to the show that you can give us? Always a tough question. It's always a tough question.
Yeah. Well, last time I had told the story about how, you know, Chris Hero, the set, Damian Wayne, John Kerman, we were down in Florida.
Yeah.
And we saw Nigel McGuinness on the manatee boat and, you know, shaking my hips and Nigel was on a date, blah blah blah. Did I tell you about the next week in Texas after that?
No, you didn't, man. Give it to us.
All right. So next week in Texas, I went to the bathroom, saw Shane Hagedorn there. We were commiserating. And Shane Hagedorn, another guy screwed over by Ring of Honor. The list goes on and on. And we were commiserating, and I was telling the story just like I was telling you guys about Nigel McGuinness on the manatee boat on a date with his girlfriend and their kids, and here's Rhett Titus shaking his junk, and, you know, Hagedorn's loving it, laughing, having a good time. And all of a sudden, we hear the toilet flush, and guess who walks out of the bathroom? Nigel McGuinness.
Oh, good Lord.
And he's like, you think that's funny, huh? You think that's really funny, huh, Titus? Just so you know, I was telling my girlfriend how all wrestlers aren't bad guys, and most of them are actually pretty good guys with families and such. Insert Rhett Titus shaking his junk around like a complete asshole. And, you know, Nigel had some choice words for me. I was a little more modest back then, so, you know, I kept what I had to say inside of me, but you can let Nigel know that, you know, Rhett Titus and all scum is gunning for him. And we're not just gunning with a regular 44. We're gunning with him with a damn flamethrower. He's about to go up in flames.
Man, I'm excited for this journey that you guys are going to take us on with scum gunning for Ring of Honor, trying to take down the entire company. And make sure you check out Supercard of Honor. That's coming up April 5th on iPay-Per-View. Go to ROHWrestling.com. Check out the entire card. It's stacked from top to bottom. But the big match, Scum versus ROH, that's Rhino, Rhett, Jimmy Rave, Jimmy Jacobs, and Cliff Compton. Representing Scum, taking on BJ Whitmer, Caprice Coleman, Cedric Alexander, Mike Mondo, and Mark Briscoe. Rhett, any final comments tonight for the fans, how they can get in touch with you? Anything else you got to say?
You can always find me on Facebook, facebook.com/RhettTitus. That's RHETTTITUS. I'm also on Twitter at RhettTitusANX and also Instagram at RhettTitusANX. And you can subscribe to me on YouTube, youtube.com/RhettTitus. You know, that's about it, brother. Thanks for having me on here.
Thanks, man.
When it comes to pro wrestling, I love to come to the powerhouse, brother. The pro wrestling powerhouse where the power lies, dog.
Man, I love it. Thanks, Rhett. I appreciate it. You're my man, bro. Have a good one.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, brother. Wow, that was Rhett Titus dropping some bombs tonight exclusively right here on TWP Radio. Wow.
I almost want to have him call in tomorrow night to talk to Nigel. Shit.
Oh, man. Maybe we could set that up. I don't know if Rhett wants to talk to Nigel, but maybe we can get Rhett on the line. Maybe we can get a little dialogue between Nigel
man.
And Rhett.
Oof. Wow.
I gotta come down for that for a minute because those are some exclusive comments. And right here, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, the PWP Radio Network, unbelievable. Toast, man, what are your thoughts on Rhett tonight?
Man, Rhett's so funny. I never realized he could be that charismatic when, you know, he's really cool. I already said it before, he's the main thing about Scum that I like. I hope this leads to a big push for him.
Yeah, it absolutely should, man. I've been watching Rhett since he pretty much debuted in Ring of Honor. I've always been a big fan before I knew him personally and before he was on the show, before Pro Wrestling Powerhouse even existed. I followed his career, and every single word he said about ROH and giving him kind of a bad shake recently, even over his entire career, it's all true. He's not lying one bit. He's not making this stuff up. And I love the fact that he kind of told us a little bit of how Matt Hardy, you know, how he's taking this whole thing on, how Cliff Compton is taking this whole thing on, how Jimmy Rave is taking it on. Because, kind of like, I don't catch every single Ring of Honor TV show, and I don't get every single DVD anymore, so it's kind of hard to put the pieces of the puzzle together. But he just really did that for me in a great way. And if you're listening, you should definitely check out Supercard of Honor. You go to ROHWrestling.com, find out all about it. The main event, it was like Kevin Steen will be defending the ROH World Championship against Jay Briscoe. We're also going to have the tag titles on the line where team of Red Dragon, that's Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, will be taking on David Richards and Eddie Edwards, the American Wolves. We're also going to have a three-way match for the ROH World Television Championship, where the new champion, Matt Taven, will take on Adam Cole, who we've also had on the network before, and the new icon, self-proclaimed icon, Matt Hardy. So that should be a hell of a contest. Number one contender match for the ROH Championship, Jay Lethal will be taking on Unbreakable Michael Elgin. That has possibility to be the match of the night. a challenge match here from Japan, man. Carl Anderson coming back to America to take on Roderick Strong. We have the what ROH calls Honor versus Scum, a 10-man war. It's going to be Team ROH. That's DJ Whitmer, Mark Briscoe, Mike Mondo, Caprice Coleman, and Cedric Alexander. And it's funny, ROH's website is so awesome that they spelled Mark, M-A-K-R. Great job, ROH. And they'll be taking on Team Scum. That's Jimmy Jacobs, Cliff Compton, Jimmy Rave Rhino, and our buddy, good friend, Rhett Titus. And that'll be a hell of a contest. And how about this one, guys? This one is going to be an absolutely huge match. Charlie Haas taking on Shelton Benjamin. One-on-one, Haas versus Benjamin in New York City. And then finally, we'll probably get the opener. You're going to have ACH and Tadarius Thomas. I have no idea who they are. I'm not going to lie. Take on God's Gifts, QT Marshall, and a mystery partner. I just don't even know what to say about that. But the card is stacked. It's going to be a great card. As Rhett said, completely sold out. I might try to get myself into the building that night. I'm not sure. Maybe I can pull some strings. But, man, how about TLD, what are your thoughts on Rhett tonight in the interview he gave us?
Nah, man, he's speaking from the heart. You know, a lot of things he was kind of hiding a couple months ago, he didn't let it all out tonight. So it was good to hear another side of him, you know, compared to where he's been kind of like trying to keep hush-hush. Now he kind of gets to reveal how he really feels, and he don't give a shit. The only problem is, if he kills ROH, what happens to them?
Well, you know, it's kind of the same thing. If Ace and Eights kills TNA, what's going to happen to them? If NWO killed WCW, what was going to happen there? You know, it's the same type of deal. If Steve Corino can somehow work his way into power and take over ROH, man, who knows where it can go from there? JCD, let's get your comments on Rhett, man.
That was amazing. That was just amazing. He didn't hold nothing back. And you know what? I mean, I agree with you. Rhett made the most sense to join that group. I didn't know a lot of the backstories, especially, I mean, on a guy like Compton. But when he laid it out there and explained, you know what was going on with Compton and Hardy and Rave. It, you know what? You look at that group now, and you're like, you know what? This makes sense. You know, and so one of them put out a tweet today that don't be surprised if there's more guys coming. So this is going to be interesting for a long time.
Yeah, it's something where I first saw the angle, and I was torn on it. I made my feelings completely public. I went on Twitter, and I actually got attacked by a bunch of marks, man, from this other website called, and I'll spit it out because a lot of the guys are good on that site. And the Spoilers podcast that comes out on Thursdays is also affiliated with this website. But Wrestle Enigma, man, these kids jumped down my throat. They're all high school kids, but I kind of buried the angle when it happened, and they all jumped on me for it. And now that I've kind of got a little backstory on it, I get it. But we've got 2 minutes left. Let's wrap this thing up. TLD, final thoughts on episode number 30 of PWP Radio.
Dude, we are only 12 days away from WrestleMania, and I'm sure next week we'll have some awesome plans to talk about what we're going to be doing down there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm going to have a major announcement about what we're going to be doing WrestleMania weekend, and I'll put that out in a minute. But, Toph, final thoughts tonight on the show.
Yeah, great show tonight, guys. I'll see you next week.
All right, man. Thank you for being on again, Toph. How about you, JCD? Final thoughts tonight, PWP Radio.
Yeah, this was awesome. Hopefully, yep, I should be around next week. And then, yeah, I'll definitely, I'm definitely interested in, whatever you guys want to do for Sunday with WrestleMania.
All right, yeah, I got a plan about that, too, that I'll talk to you guys about. But, okay, man, tomorrow night, Nigel McGuinness live on the network right here, blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. Nigel McGuinness, the commissioner of Ring of Honor, just came out with the Last of McGuinness documentary recently. You should go out and see it if you haven't. It is perspective changing. We've talked about it on the show. We will have him live, and we will have comments from him about Rhett Titus. I definitely will ask him about that. Also, check us out on Twitter at PW Powerhouse, Facebook, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. WrestleMania weekend. Not only will TLD and I be at Pro Wrestling Syndicate Thursday night filming a live blog, PWP TV will be making its return We will also be at WrestleMania with a live show, pre-show, at WrestleMania 29. We will be there. PWP Radio will be representing. So, for Toph, Will, John, Rhett, the Threat, Titus, this is Jersey Strong J signing off tonight. PWP Radio, episode number 30. It's been epic, folks. And make sure you keep it real.